Kof Sivan, Wednesday the 22nd of June, Rabbi Matisyahu Lawrence, Hilchos Beis Din, Hazmona L'Din Torah.
Good morning. The topic, as announced, is Hazmona L'Din Torah, literally translated as an invitation to a Din Torah. Now, I've always been puzzled by the term an invitation to a Din Torah. Usually we'd rather receive an invitation to a chasna, perhaps, or to a bar mitzvah, but an invitation to a Din Torah is a slightly interesting expression. But the expression itself is based on the Gemara in Ma'id Katan, which we'll see in a minute. But why I decided to speak specifically this week about this topic is because many of the halachas of a Hazmona L'Din Torah, how a Beis Din has to invite or summon, we would use in our terminology, summon a person to a Din Torah, is learned from Parshas Korach. So although Parshas Korach is something which we all know a lot about, and many different mahalchim to understand the machlokes of Korach with Moshe and Aaron, but there's a very important other topic which comes out from the Maisa with Korach, which is less well known, and that's the topic of Hazmona the Din Torah, summoning somebody to a Din Torah. What are the procedures that a Beis Din has to follow in order to summon somebody correctly to a Din Torah? Now the Gemara, the pasuk says, after relating how the Maisa with Korach developed and the Machlokes with Moshe Rabbeinu, the challenge, the rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu, the pasuk says, "Vayishlach Moshe likroi ledosam v'laviro." Moshe called, Moshe sent to call for Dasan and Aviram, b'nei Eliyav, v'yomru loy na'ale. And they said, "We won't come up. We won't come." And then the pasuk says, "If you pasuk him later, v'yomer Moshe al Korach." Moshe said to Korach, "Ato v'chol adoscho, you and your entire congregation, heyu lifnei Hashem. You have to come in front of Hashem. Ato, you, v'heim, v'aroin u'mocho. You and them, your congregation, v'aroin and aroin mocho." So from this short pasuk, the Gemara Moed Cotton learns six separate dinim, and there's a seventh din which is learned from another pasuk elsewhere in Tanakh. So again, let's remind ourselves of the pasukim. The first pasuk was Vayishlach Moshe Likroi Ledosam Vavirim. Moshe Rabbeinu called, he sent to call for Dosam Vavirim, which sounds like you have to have some kind of shlichus which is involved in summoning somebody for a Din Torah. And the second pasuk, there was a few points there. Moshe said to Korach, "Ato, you have to come, v'chol adoscho, and your congregation, heyu, have to be, lifnei Hashem, ato, v'heim, v'aroin, mocho." And he said the date to mocho. So Gemara Moed Katan says as follows, "Omar Rava, daf tezayin on beis Moed Katan, Omar Rava, minoron de meshadrin shlicha de bei dina, umazminin le de dina." When somebody wants to summon somebody to a Din Torah, you can't just schlep the guy into Beis Din, pick the guy off the street, and take him into the Beis Din, put him in front of the Dayanim and say, "I've got some kind of claim, some kind of tviya against this man." You can't do that. He has to, a shliach has to be sent. Manala de meshadrin shlicha de bei dinah. How do you know that to summon somebody to the Din Torah, you have to send a shliach to the Beis Din? Or mazminin le de dinah. Tchsev, vayishlach Moshe likroi ledasam l'aviram. Moshe Rabbeinu sent somebody to call Dosan Aviram. So we see the Indian, there has to be a shlichus. You can't just schlep the guy into the Beis Din, there has to be a shlichus. Then the Gemara continues, "Manalon to mazmin in the dinner." How do you know in the first place you have to be mazmin in the din? Besides the fact of attending a shliach, how do you know you have to be mazmin in the din? Tichziv, vayayim Moshe al Korach, ato v'chol adoscho, etc., have got to be lifnei Hashem. So Moshe Rabbeinu gave an instruction to Korach that he has to present himself lifnei Hashem. Then the Gemara says, "Lekama gavra rabo." How do you know that has to be in front of a gavra rabo? Which some of the Mefarshim say means you have to inform him in advance who is the gavra rabo of the Beis Din. Every Beis Din will have a gavra rabo, an av Beis Din, somebody who's perhaps a more mumcha than the other dayanim who are there. And how do you know that you have to inform him that it's going to be in front of a particular gavra rabo? Dichsev, lifnei Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu informed Korach that the Din Torah which was going to take place, and why this exactly was a Din Torah is a separate question. The Mefarshim don't really deal with why this episode where Korach and his Eidim were going to come in front of Hashem is exactly a Din Torah as such. What's the comparison to a Din Torah? Then the Tziv asked this question, and the Tziv has a Mahalach Ayin Shom. But the Gemara clearly takes on that what was going to happen. Here was a din Torah, and we learned the din of a din Torah. So how do you know it has to? You have to inform him. It's going to be in front of a gavru rabba. Who is the gavru rabba? The av bezdin or the mumch, the bezdin. Tichsev lifnei Hashem. So he's referred to Hashem. He said, Hashem, you're going to come in front of Hashem. Then the Gemara asked another question. At uplanya, you and Pliny. In other words, how do you know that when you call someone to a bezdin, you have to tell him who the teveya is? Who is the claimant? Who is claiming here? You can't just arrange it with the bezdin that somebody receives a hasmon ledin Torah in the post or from a shliach, saying to him, come to bezdin. And we're not telling you who's calling you to bezdin. Wait till you get there. You can't do that. How do you know you have to tell him in advance that who the claimant actually is? Because it says, ato v'heim v'aron. Moshe Rabbeinu informed Korach, who are going to be the parties to this din Torah? Ato v'heim v'aron. So it was clear who the Tovim were over here. Moshe and Aaron were going to be the Tovim over here. Then the Gemara says, how do you know the Kavinim Zimna? How do you know they have to be Koveya as man for the din Torah? You can't just schlep it in. You have to be Koveya in advance as man. What does the Pasuk say? Mocha. It's going to be tomorrow. By the way, why did it have to be tomorrow? Why couldn't it be Koveya that day? So in fact, the Gemara doesn't ask this question. But the Medrash, I saw one of the Oitzim Medrashim brings a Medrash Lekach Toiv, who says the reason why they had to be kuveya this for the next day is because ein donim mitayif shichrus. You can't have a din Torah mitayif from shichrus, which is like literally drunkenness, which means that when something is very fiery, something is being blown up at that time, something is that all the emotions are high, it's very difficult to have a din Torah at that time. So you put it off for the next day. So that's where we learn that you have to be kuveya asman. And the final two points that the Gemara mentions are zimna basar zimna. How do you know that if a person was called to a din Torah, he was summoned to a din Torah, and he didn't come, that you call him again? And if he didn't come that time, then you call him again. In other words, said in Mefarshim, that you don't put him in Chayrim right away. Right? The Gemara's are clear. If someone doesn't turn up to a din Torah, he's Roy for Nidui. You have to put him in Nidui, or kind of a Chayrim, which means that all kinds of very serious repercussions that he can't be involved in the Kehillah and Minyonim, and even his children can be removed from school. That's what the halacha is. But how do you know you don't do that right away? How do you know you don't do that right away? Zimna basa zimna. So Gemara brings a pasuk not from Parshas Korach, a pasuk in Yirmiyah, which says there that there was meant to be a milchoma taking place between Paroi, Melech Mitzrayim, and Nebuchadnezzar. And Paroi seemingly was the strong one here, and he was kuveya azman for Nebuchadnezzar to come to war. And Nebuchadnezzar didn't turn up on that day. And we find later on that the war took place at a later time. So we see from there that if, I think it's the Ritva says, that if you see that a melech is marich zaman, in other words, he didn't get all offended that the opponent didn't turn up on the right day, and he gave him another opportunity to turn up. If we see that from a melech, a goy, so kol shekein by Yisrael, who are, we practice dachei dachei noyam, we act in a pleasant way, that if someone doesn't come to a din Torah when he's called, so then we can call him another day, you give him another chance, and you give him another chance. And Mefarshim say that the reason is because maybe he was an oinus on that day, and he couldn't come, maybe something came up, he couldn't come, and the Bezdin shouldn't be kayes, says the Ritva, a Bezdin should not be angry with a person that he didn't come, because maybe something came up that was unavoidable, and he couldn't come on that day. So if he didn't come, you kaveya another zman, and if he didn't come on that day, you kaveya another zman, and if on the third time he doesn't come, what's the halacha? You can put him in chayrim. That's what the Bez Din does, not kad, should. And the final halacha, the seventh halacha, which the Gemara learns over here, is, umanalan di'i mispake b'shlicha de beidina. If the defendant who's being called, who's being summoned to a din Torah, is mispake, which means he is acts with hefkerus, which means the Mefarshim say either he curses the Shliach Bezdin or he curses the Bezdin itself, then and obviously he doesn't come to the Bezdin, then the Shliach Bezdin is allowed to go back to the Bezdin and tell them what he has done so they can put him in Chayrim, and it's not called Lashon Hara, says the Gemara. How do you know it's not called Lishna Bisha? He's speaking bad against the person. But how do you know that he's allowed to do this and report this fellow to the Bezdin? It's because this is written in the Torah over here, this whole parsha over here, about Dos and Aviram, and they said that they wouldn't come. Right? Why, how come Moshe Rabbeinu write it in the Torah? It must be that it's allowed to say such Lashon Hara. How did Moshe Rabbeinu hear about it? He must have heard about it from somebody. Somebody was a shliach who told him. And he recorded it in the Torah. Why? As a message, halacha lemaisa, that we should know that it's not considered to be lashon hara if the shliach tells the bezdin that this defendant here cursed the bezdin or cursed the shliach. So those are the basic halachas that we learn from this parasha. Now, just to clarify, who was the shliach in this case? In the case of parashas Korach, right? With Korach, who was the shliach over here? So we find there's actually a machlokes rishonim about it. The Nimuk Yosef brings down from the Ravid two different shittas, two different opinions, who was the shliach over here. Some say Moshe Rabbeinu himself was the shliach, which is a bit difficult to fit, and the Ran asked the Kash, it's difficult to fit in the Psukim, because the Psukim imply Moshe Rabbeinu sent somebody else, right? Vayishlach Moshe, Moshe sent somebody else. But the main shat the rishonim seem to say is that Korach himself was actually the shliach. Moshe Rabbeinu appointed Korach to be the shliach to go and call his Eda to the Din Torah. Right? And that's where we learn the shlichus from. Now, what is the reason why we mentioned that Gemara mentions that you have to inform the defendant, the nitzvah, who the teveya actually is? Yeah, the Gemara says at uplanya. How do you know you have to tell him who's coming to din Torah? And it mentions the because the names of Aaron, etc., mentioned in the pasuk there. How do we know that you have to inform? It's not how do we know. Why? What is the reason why you have to inform him who the actual teveya is? So let's try to suggest the reason. Says the Ritva. The reason is like this. Because maybe, if he hears who the Teveya is, then he will remember whatever dispute took place between them. And either he will be able to sort it out of court, he'll be able to settle out of court with the Teveya, or he'll be able to prepare himself for the Din Torah, how he's actually going to respond. Okay? So that's how the Mitzvah said. That's the reason why you have to inform him who the Teveya actually is. You can't just call him to Beis Din anonymously, and then you should wait to get there and see who it is. That's the reason why you have to tell him who the Teveya actually is. Now, there's an interesting point that comes out from this. And this question is asked very many times by people who come to Beis Din. When you call somebody to a Beis Din, do you have to tell him in advance what the Tviya actually is? What is the claim? Okay, so we've said the Gemara says you have to inform him who the Tviya is, who is the claimant. Do you have to inform him beforehand what the claim is? So what would we say? What would we think?
Yeah.
Yeah, most people probably intuitively would say yes. Well, it's not fair, especially as we're familiar with the English court system perhaps. Where you have to prepare everything in advance, you send it in, you send in a bundle to the court, and even the judge reads everything before in many courts, right? In halacha, it's completely not like that. The dayanim don't read anything before, they don't know anything before at all. They might know what the nature of the claim actually is, but they don't know any of the details beforehand in a Beis Din. And the question is, do you have to inform the defendant what the claim actually is? So we said most people would think that you do. It happens actually to be a machlokes achronim. The Shach in Siman Yud Aleph, Choshe Mishpat, brings the opinion of the Be'er Sheva. The Be'er Sheva was a very early achron who wrote a pirush on many some sechdes and shas. And in his pirush on Sanhedrin, the Be'er Sheva says that you do not. You do not have to call, you do not have to tell him in advance what the times are. Call him to Beis Din, and there and then he has to answer the claim. What's the reason for that, says the Be'er Sheva? What's the makoy for it? The makoy for it, says the Be'er Sheva, is a Gemara in Bava Basra, in Ches Kasabatim. The Gemara in Ches Kasabatim says, it's talking over there about a person, about the concept of Choyze V'Toyin. Right? We're familiar with the concept of Choyze V'Toyin. In Beis Din, when a person has said something, he's not usually allowed to then say something different afterwards, to change his story. It's called Choyze V'Toyin. Kivin Shatoan, Einai Choyze V'Toyin. You can't be Choyze V'Toyin. The Gemara says that. What about a case where a person said some kind of taina outside Beis Din, and when he came to Beis Din afterwards, he said something different? Yeah? Do we call that a chazara? Because we know, we heard that he said something outside Beis Din, and now he's saying something different in Beis Din. Can we accept what he's saying in Beis Din? What would we say? What would we think? Yes or no? Why?
If the Zedus, he said the other thing before.
Ought. So you would think that perhaps
both things are in front of Besdin.
So you could argue that, well, since we know that he said one thing, and now in outside Besdin, and now he's saying something different in Besdin, we don't accept the second thing. The Gemara says no. Why? Because the derech of a person, that he is not megala his proper tainus outside Besdin, said the Gemara. He waits till Besdin to actually say his proper tainus. So therefore, in the event that somebody said something outside Besdin, we don't accept it, and it doesn't bother us that something in Besdin contradicts that. Okay, it's a sugya over there. Says the Be'er Sheva, from that Gemara you see, it's not the derech of a person to be megala's tainus outside Besdin. So he builds a klal from there, that outside Besdin you don't have to say your taina. So in a case in where you're calling somebody to Besdin, you don't have to tell him your taina, because at that point it's still out of Besdin. It hasn't yet come to it in Torah yet. So you don't have to tell him the taina beforehand. That's what the Be'er Sheva says. And the Shach, there, similarly, Aleph brings the Be'er Sheva, and the Shach is chaylek on the Be'er Sheva. The Shach says, it's not true. Why? That Gemara is talking about that specific context, it's talking about the derech of people, whether they say things clearly outside Besdin or not. But in the case where a person wants to summon someone to Besdin, there's a chiyuv to tell him in advance what the case actually is, what is the claim. Yeah? We're following? Now, says the Shach, what's the reason? What's the reason? Because maybe he'll be moida. If you come with a claim for £10,000 against him, outside Besdin, and you tell him in advance, maybe he'll be moida. Maybe he won't need a din Torah. Maybe you don't have to come in front of the Dayanim. So therefore, says the Shach, you have to tell him in advance, maybe he'll be moida. Maybe he'll admit to the Choyv, or whatever the Tevia is, and can settle it that way. And that's how the Shach paskins. You have to tell him in advance, what is the Tevia. Now, what is the Halach Lemaisa? Right, we've got two shittas over here. We've got the Be'er Sheva, who says you don't have to tell him, and the Shach, who says you do. Right? So, the Achronim, most of the Achronim paskin like the Shach, that you do. The Ketzalis is mashma, like the Shach. Al-Khashulchan says explicitly like the Shach. And Rav Moshe Feinstein says in Igros Moshe, like the Shach, that you do have to tell him in advance what the actual Tevia is. That's the Halacha. Says Rav Moshe, in Igros Moshe, an interesting thing. Rav Moshe was asked the following Shaila. In America, there is an organization called the Agudas HaRabbonim. It's a national organization of Rabbonim who affiliate to this organization called Agudas HaRabbonim. And about 40 years ago, they went to Moshe to ask him, they want guidelines for Dinei Torah. How is their Besdin meant to run? Well, they want some guidelines. So Moshe gave them guidelines, and he said that when you call someone to a Din Torah, you do not have to tell him the details of the Tevia in advance. About 15 years later, you can see from the Tshuva there, I'm not quite sure why it took so long, about 15 years later, they wrote to Moshe asking about this point over here. Obviously something had come up where it was relevant. And they said to Moshe, when Moshe said that you don't have to tell in advance the details of the Tevia, was Moshe being mechaven to the Deya of the Be'er Sheva, or the Deya of the Shach? So it's an interesting question. Because Moshe is saying, you don't have to say the details. And the Shach was the one who said, that you do. So it sounds obviously like Moshe is going like the Be'er Sheva, not like the Shach. Yeah? Moshe said, no, he was mechavim for the day of the Shach. He was referring to the Shach. The halacha is like the Shach. So how does that fit? Yeah, so he explains. The Shach says, you do have to tell the details. Moshe is saying, no, you don't have to say the details. So Moshe says, although the halacha is like the Shach, that you should say the details, that's the halacha. In practice, you don't have to do that. Why? Because, what was the reason why you should have to say the time? What did we say before? What was the reason why you didn't have to say the time?
Moida.
Because maybe he'll be Moida. Yeah? Says with Moshe that nowadays, a Besdin that sends out a hazmona to somebody, that person has to accept that the Besdin took a decision, perhaps not the Dayanim because they wouldn't have seen it, but the Hanhola of the Besdin would have made a decision that the person, even if he heard the Tevia, would not be Moida. In other words, it was a complicated enough case, or there was enough grounds for it to have to be heard in Besdin. And therefore, if a person receives a Tevia, he has to accept that the Besdin have thought that he's not going to be Moida in advance, that he's going to put up a fight against it. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So therefore, in practice, if someone receives a Hazmona Lidin Torah, he's not got the Zuchus, says Moshe, to ask what the details actually are. So although in theory the halacha is like the Shach, in practice, says Moshe, a Besdin would have taken a decision already that even if he heard the Tevia, he's not going to be Moida, And therefore, it's something that needs a Din Torah anyway, and therefore it has to come to a Din Torah. That's what Rav Moshe says. In practice, what we do here locally is that if someone is sent to Hasmona the Din Torah, we give an outline of the claim. A basic outline of the claim without the details. You don't send any paperwork or anything in advance, but an outline of what the claim is, what it refers to, so the person knows basically what's going on, and they have to prepare themselves based on that idea. But Mi'ika Hadin, one should be giving the actual Tevi'ah, according to the Shach, but Rav Moshe is saying that you don't have to. So we take a sort of a pshara in between that. Now, the question is there a raya that we can bring from Rishonim for the Be'er Sheva or for the Shach? So you remember we mentioned before the Ritva. What was the Ritva talking about? The Ritva was talking about the reason why you have to tell him the name of the person who's claiming. Yeah? You have to tell him the name of the person who's claiming. Why? What did the Ritva say? Why do you have to tell him the name of the person who's making the claim?
To remind him
of the issue so that he can either settle out of court, or they should prepare his response for a Din Torah. So, does that seem to be a raya like the Shach or the Be'er Sheva? Any suggestions? The Shach or Be'er Sheva?
More like the Shach.
It's more like the Shach, seemingly. Yeah? The Ritva is saying you have to tell him in advance the name of the claimant so that he can remember what was going on and either settle or defend himself. Yeah? Seems to be like the Shach. And the Shach said you have to give the Tvia, the actual claim, for similar reasons. And some Achroinim bring that as a raya. It's a raya for the Shach. Other Achroinim say no. It's a raya faket. Why? Because the Gemara only said that you have to tell him the name of the Tvia. The name of the claimant. And as the Ritva explained, that is enough to remind him of the Tevi'ah itself. And that's it. No more than that. That should be enough to remind him. The Gemara never actually said you have to tell him what the Tevi'ah is. So therefore, that would be a raya for the Be'er Sheva. You don't have to tell him what the Tevi'ah is. You could just call him, tell him who is actually calling him to Beis Din, and that, we say, is sufficient for him to remember enough about the case that he should either settle or defend himself in Beis Din. So therefore, it's a shaila whether this ritva is actually a raya for the Be'er Sheva or for the other opinion of the Shach. Okay, as we said, the halacha is Rav Moshe Paskins like the Shach, but in practice, we don't seem to follow that. And Rav Moshe himself says that we don't seem to have to give all the details in advance. Now, a couple of other points. The Gemara says. In Bava Kama Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. It's talking about the point we mentioned before, that you're kaveya a zman for a person to come to Din Torah, and if he doesn't come that time, you kaveya another zman, you fix another zman, and if he doesn't come that time, then you call him a third time. So the Gemara says, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph in Bava Kama. Omer Rav Chisda, Kaivin zman sheni v'chamishi v'sheni. You kaveya a zman for him to come to Beis Din on the Yom Sheni, which is Monday. And if he doesn't come then, Yom Chamishi Thursday, which is the other day of the week the Beis Din sits, and if he doesn't come then, for the Monday, for the week after. Zimna, the Zimna, Basa Zimna. In other words, you call him one time, and you call him again, and a third time, because it doesn't say that, but that's what it means. Ulemocha Kasvina. On the next day, we write. What does write mean? We write a Pischa. What's a Pischa? It's like a shtar of Shamta, a shtar of Chirim, saying that this guy didn't turn up to Beis Din. That's on the third occasion. Now, Rabbi Zemaisa, Ravasi, or changes of the side to Ravashi, Ravashi ikla Beirav Kahana. Ravashi came to the Beirav Kahana. Chazal hahi itza, he saw a lady. The Azmanah, the Dina, the Fanyo, the Safra. A lady was called to a Din Torah. Ladies are also called to Din Torah sometimes as well. A lady was called to a Din Torah in the morning, and she didn't come. And they called her again. In the afternoon, late afternoon, not the evening, because Beis Din doesn't sit by night. And she didn't come. So it's all on one day. What happened? Kosev ala psicha. He wrote a psicha. He wrote a shtar shamta against this lady. So it was all on one day. So why didn't he follow this practice of three separate hasmonas? So he said to him, Omalei, Ravashi said to Rav Kahana, Lo yisov ala ma lahod omar av chizda, Kovin's man, Sheni the Chamishi Vesheni. Don't you hold to this halacha that you're meant to be Kovea three zmanim, but the person doesn't come. By the way, you're not Kovea the three zmanim in advance. Right? You Kovea a zman, if they don't come, you fix another zman, and then you fix another zman. We'll talk a little bit about that in a second. And you didn't do like that. You put her in cherem after one day. So what was going on? Hani mili gavra the onis. That only said by a man who could be an onis, v'leisei b'masa, and he's not in the town. So you called him the first time. Maybe he wasn't in town. So we give him another chance. And then maybe that time he also wasn't in town. So you give him another chance. That's by a man. But if the by lady came in the Eisei b'masa, since when astam a lady doesn't travel out of town all that much, she'll be at home. If she doesn't come to the Infeira, the Layasa, she doesn't come, Meredesi. So we call her a Meredes. We call her a rebellious lady. Right? So therefore he says, the halacha is different for a man or for a lady. Yeah? And this is how it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. If a man is called to a Bezdin, then you call him three times. If a lady is called, then you have to call her once. If she doesn't come, then you can write a Cheirim right away. Now in practice, the Shulchan Aruch says, and Bais Yosef already brings, it all depends on the circumstances. It depends. If it's a man who we know who's in town all the time, then you only give him one chance. And if it's a lady who we know travels out of town, then you give her three chances. The Gemara is just talking about Orcha de Milsa. The normal thing is a man travels in and out of town, and a lady doesn't travel in and out of town. So that's what the Gemara said, differentiates between a man and a lady. But Lemaisa says that in Halacha, it doesn't make a difference whether it's a man or a lady. It depends on the derech of that person, whether the person who is in and out of town, or they're not in and out. Now, the interesting thing, says the Urim V'Tumim, say for Urim V'Tumim, Rabbi Yonatan Eifshetz. He says, how come the minig is nowadays, we always send three hazmonas, right? And that's the minig of what they did nowadays. You always send three hazmonas. The person doesn't listen to the first one, or the second one, so you send three hazmonas. Yeah? Why is the minig like that? Why do we always do that? So the Urim V'Tumim says, because nowadays, everybody's busy. Right? Everyone's busy nowadays. Everyone's torahed. Everyone's busy doing all kinds of different things. It's already quite a long time ago. We understand shit. Everyone's very busy. So therefore, when you sent the hazmona the first time, it could be that he was an oinus and he couldn't come, and suddenly the second time as well. And therefore, we give everybody three chances. It doesn't mean that a person who's called to a din Torah can leave it to the last, to the third chance. Right? He has to respond right away. In the event that he didn't, Besdin will give him three chances. But what's the basis of it? How can you just suddenly come along and change the halacha just like that? Right? How can you say the halacha says that it depends on whether they're in town or they're not in town? How can you say so? The Yonatan Eifshetz says in the Urim V'Tumim that there's another girsa in the Gemara here. There's a girsa of the Rosh. Whereas we said we had this maisa just now, and he put the lady in cherem after one time, and Rav Ashi said to him, "How come you did that? Either halacha is to call three times." His answer was, "That's by a man who is in and out of town. But by a lady, she's not in and out of town, so we call her, we can put her in cherem after the first time." There's a different girsa in there. The Rosh has a different girsa. And it's similar to a girsa in the previous sugya. But the Rosh's girsa is, when do you call a person three times? That's when they are torahed. The person is torahed. But the person is not torahed, then you have to call them once. If they don't respond the first time, you can put them in cherem. So based on that Gilsa, says the Ritori, we rely on the Rosh, and the Rosh says it all depends on whether the person who's being called to Din Torah is Torah, is he busy or not? Yeah? So says the Ritori, nowadays we take for granted that everybody is very busy, men and ladies. He says ladies are busy working, they have businesses in their houses and things, and he says everybody's busy nowadays, so therefore, the minig is, we send the hazmona three times if the person doesn't respond the first and second time. We send it three times, and that's the minig for everybody nowadays. And that taka is the minig in most Chotidin. That you send the hazmona three times if unfortunately the person doesn't answer the first time. So this is a sikkum of the halachas of hazmona lidin Torah. Yit Hashem, none of us should be shaykh to it, right? But it's an interesting iyum that comes out from Parshas Kinah.
Fantastic.